How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz win Game 1 of the 2017 first-round playoff series against the L.A. Clippers, 97-95. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. David Locke along with Ron Boone. I always talk about how I have no game recall. I might not even remember this one. I am just so flabbergasted by the fact that they pulled this thing off and won this game.
Well, I am too, and I don't know if I was expecting the Jazz to win, but I was expecting a ball game like we saw, you know, and I think I got more encouraged in the second half than I did in the first half, even though the first half set up the second half, if you know what I mean. Blake Griffith, two field goals and two free throws there in the second half. I thought that's where it all started, the job they were able to do with him in that second half.
So, first play of the game, Rudy Gobert goes out. I mean, he's been everything for us. Everything. How did the Jazz survive that?
Well, defensively, they're good. And I'm not convinced that the Jazz are a better defensive team with Rudy. Do they defend better on the perimeter with Derek Favors in the ball game? Even though Rudy's a better rim protector. Smart coaches just change the defensive strategy and hope they can get something out of it. I thought Coach Snyder did a great job of matchups and creating matchups, getting something out of the pick and roll where they force switches and then end up shooting a very good percentage. And to putting the ball in the right people's hands was huge. Just think about the second half that Gordon had. You know, those type of things started to get better and better, you know, as the game went on.
So let's go to the final sequence. Jazz are kind of in control. Chris Paul goes on a flurry, scores 10 straight points, as you kind of knew he would. Then the Jazz actually handle that. They're back in control of the game. A few things go wrong, like Derek Favors missing two free throws. And the Jazz are now defending on the up by two. Chris Paul beats Derek Favors on a switch, which you can't really blame Derek Favors for, and there's no secondary rim protection, so he lays it up and in. And now there's 9 seconds left in the game. And I mean, I had one of our coaches simply say to me today, if Jamal Crawford is on the floor, we have to get at him. We have got to make him play defense. He can't just be playing offense against us all night. Well, on this last, they've been going to Crawford for much of the fourth quarter. And Crawford's on the floor. They don't call a timeout. Do you think that Quinn, I mean, we don't know. So either Quinn told them, hey, here's what we want, or these guys have gotten Quinn's game plan and who he is. Such smart players. Joe Johnson dribbles it up calmly, goes right to Joe Ingles. They set a pick so that it forces Crawford to switch, and now Jamal Crawford is guarding Joe Johnson in the final seconds of the game, and Joe Johnson takes him in the post and scores on him.
You know, I'm going to take the latter because I don't think that, and I'm thinking that, you know, Quinn Snyder is a very smart coach, and I would imagine that was called in the timeout. You know, if he scores, this is what we want. If he scores, we don't want a timeout. Don't let the defense get set. And I think that is a smart thing to do, especially when you have enough time on the clock to bring the ball up the floor and make sure you get it into the right person's hands. And they did. I mean, I'm giving Quinn all the credit, you know, for the way the Jazz finished the basketball game.
It also could be as simple as that these guys went through a multi-hour film session on Thursday. They went through a practice on Friday, and they went through a shoot-around today that was awesome. And
they went through more than that. I'm just not saying, believe me.
But, I mean, I think that there's also just an understand that Quinn communicates so well to the players of what they want to do, where they want to attack, who they're trying to get after. There's no mystery in the level of detail. So these guys knew, hey, if Jamal Crawford's on the floor, we're going at it.
Yeah, well, this is the power of playing the same team, the power of film, the power of putting your minds together and working on a game plan and trying to make sure that you get it you get it done. I mean, there was a lot of things that went on the floor out there that worked for the Jazz that they worked on this morning on both sides. And both teams, David, want to create the mismatch. You notice on the pick and roll, they force a mismatch on who they want to attack. Both teams did that. The Jazz just had the upper hand here tonight.
I think there was an interesting coaching part of a playoff series. So let's try to get into this a little bit. This is something I think that will be unique to the postcast, exclusive to them. So Blake Griffin dominates the Jazz in the first half. The Jazz finally, on kind of one of the last plays of the first half, brought Gordon Hayward over on a double team. But he still had 22 in the first half. In the second half, that double team came much better and took away his actions, and he turned the ball over a few times. What was the problem in the first half of why they couldn't get that double team there, and what was it in the second half they did so well?
I was surprised it didn't happen in the first half, but then come to think about it, you know, George Hill was the one that they worked on it with this morning. And if Chris Paul was down in the corner, which that means that George Hill was not at the top of the key before he could go down and double team. Second half was a little different. We saw Joe Johnson go down and double. We saw Gordon go down to double because the adjustments that they were able to make there. You know, Quinn probably said, hey, look, it doesn't matter who's here. We want the double team to go. And then once he picks it up, I want you rotating out of it. You force him to pick the ball up. And so that's just good coaching. I'm surprised that players didn't just pick up something like that on their own.
And now Doc Rivers will counter and be ready for double teams on Blake Griffin in the post.
And they'll position players on the floor that when they come down to double, this is what you do with the basketball. And like I said during the course of the broadcast now, that with Phil Johnson and Jerry Sloan used to tell me, now they have to anticipate on what adjustments that Doc Rivers is going to do and try to be ready for it.
All right, let's go back to Joe Johnson for a second. I mean, this kid, he dominated the game. He took over the game in the second quarter, got the mismatches. He made Blake Griffin pay. They ran Blake Griffin off every – that might have slowed Blake down a little bit too. They're running him off every pick imaginable. Joe at the four tonight was really a force for the Jazz. He finished the night with 21 points. The Jazz were plus six when he was on the floor. He went 9 of 14. He got some open three-point looks, which he doesn't miss. What did you see tonight? What have you just seen from Joe?
Well, from Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
I just seen his experience and his ability to get the shot that he wants. I'm just talking about the offensive inside of the floor. He can get where he wants to on the floor. Now, Chris Paul kind of picked his pocket there late in the ball game, and I was thinking that was going to be easy, too, and that would have put the Jazz up five, right? If he was able to score. But usually, you know, he takes his time, he gets to his spots out there on the floor, and that's anywhere from 13, usually it's about 13 to 10 feet away from the basket, and he usually shoots a great percentage from there. Loving with the basketball in his hands, you know, in those closing
sets. To your point, we may see Chris Paul doubling him more. I mean, that's the beauty of the playoffs. What are they going to do to counter Joe Johnson? The other Joe deserves some credit. Joe Ingles was so tough and so good in the first half. It was almost as though he kept them in the game. Just because when Rudy went down, he fought so hard, ripped the ball out of guys' hands on two different occasions. Joe Ingles was really special in the first half of this game.
Well, like I said, that first quarter was probably the key to the game because, you know, usually in the playoffs, that first quarter, there's a lot of emotion going on there, and teams get off to a great start. They start knocking down threes all over the floor. I saw this in the Indiana Pacers-Cleveland Cavalier game this morning when the Cavaliers got off to such a great start, and they were making shots everywhere and up 16, 17 points or something like that early in the ball game, and Indiana had to fight back, and Cleveland ended up winning in the closing seconds. So that did not happen tonight, which means that the Jazz did not let the Clippers have that emotional run, and they were only down two after the first quarter.
I looked perplexed, and you're wondering why. I just read a quote from a comment Doc Rivers just made in the press conference. I'm just going to tell me what you think of this. Doc Rivers says Clippers had a tough time adjusting to the smaller space the floor Jazz with Gobert out.
Which just means the game plan was with Rudy on the floor.
Well, did they not scout us? Because we've been playing 30 minutes of Joe Johnson the four for the last month.
Well, that's interesting.
Right? Because, I mean, we didn't play any smaller than we've been playing since All-Star break.
No, we did not. So defensively, they don't have the players to do it.
No, I mean, if the other one on this story, I think, is that, hey, Jamal Crawford can get hot. He was 0-for-3 late. But J.J. Redick was a non-factor in tonight's game. 3-of-6, he just didn't impact the game. And Jamal Crawford ends up 4-of-12. And Mo Spates ends up 2-of-5. I mean, you had somebody say to you, like, those two guys, they go 6-of-17. They don't get stuff from those two guys. It's a tough night for them.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is what I'm sure that Coach Snyder was hoping, that they didn't let those two guys get going. Because, you know, this, both of those guys can get on a run. And the Jazz really took Redick out of the ball game early. And that was Joe Ingles, who was guarding him, and Gordon. Took him out of the ball game early enough that he just could not get things going. I'm just excited about this game, and we can sit here and we can go over and over how the Jazz were able to get it done, but they just flat out played some very good defense.
Incredible win, incredible effort, fight. They got stunned early on the Gobert injury. They fought through. Really happy for Derek Favors to show his value tonight to this franchise. He's been with them for a long time. It's been a tough year for Derek. And I asked him about kind of being the forgotten man this year, and he said, hey, Rudy helped me out when I went down, so I had to pick him up. It's that kind of effort I've done it for the Jazz. 97-95 win on a Joe Johnson game winner. 21 for Johnson, 19 for Hayward, 16 for Hill, 15 for Favors. And the Clippers, it gets really interesting here in Los Angeles. I thought this whole time, not just because we were playing them, I find the Clippers to be the most interesting story of all of the NBA playoffs, with the free agency, with the past failures, with who the aging elements to them. The Austin Rivers injury is a problem for them, by the way. That's a big loss for them.
And before the ball game, Doc Rivers said that they expected him to miss at least the first two.
So that's going to be interesting. All right, that is our postcast tonight. Jazz win it in a buzzer beater, 97-95. This is part of the Locked On Podcast Network.